produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The Living Room. I'm your host, Juliette Davis, and it is my pleasure to be with you on today. Listen, we are in the beginning of a new year, which says to me, if you are listening to today's broadcast, you have got a lot to be thankful for, because if you were preserved and kept by God through 2020, then you have no other recourse but to tell God thank you. And by now, you're probably aware that 2020 has already introduced itself to 2021, which means that although the calendar changed, the challenges that we faced in 2020 have already crossed over with us into 2021. So I say that to say that this is the time and the season for us to get on purpose and to start living the kind of life that we know we should be living, and to eliminate the excuses. You know, the new year is a time when you kind of have an opportunity to reflect on the previous year and then to take a look forward with a clean slate and to be able to say, okay, now what would I like this year to be like for me? Which really is a great introduction to my topic today, which is a better me. And so when I think about this topic, I have to tell you that today's guest is somebody who I really believe is probably the best person I know to help us talk about being a better me. That person is none other than Dr. Evelyn Hall Harris. She is someone who has the unique composition of being both clinical and spiritual. She is by vocation a nurse practitioner, and later this year she'll be celebrating 45 years as a nurse practitioner, and you certainly wouldn't know it by looking at her. She is a retired captain from the Navy. And she's also earned a doctorate of ministry from the Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Theology at Virginia Union University. She's traveled overseas, done a number of medical missions. This woman has a background that gives her, I believe, the ability to be uniquely qualified to talk with us today about being a better me. So let me stop and welcome Dr. Evelyn Hall Harris to The Living Room.
Thank you, Pastor Juliette. It's so great to always be with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, you know what we say. We say that the living room is the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. So pull up a chair, get your iPads, your iPhone, and come on in the living room and join us, because we're going to talk about something today that I believe is important for all of us, and that is how to become a better me. Now, the first thing that I want to talk with you about, and Evelyn is a dear friend of mine, so I know that this conversation may very well lead to a part two show. So let me say that at the outset. But one of the things that I really admire about you and about your practice as a nurse practitioner and as a minister of the gospel is that you have been able to correlate the relationship between the clinical and the spiritual, and where those roads intersect really is with an understanding about the spirit, the soul, and the body. And so let's start there. Tell me, how did you first begin to make that correlation? What was that? Do you know if there was a moment in time where you began to see the direct correlation between those two areas?
Yes, there was. I spent 25 years in the Navy, and during my early naval career in the early 80s, I was noticing how the words the sailors were using when they came back from deployment or were on board ship were having to undergo surgery. And some of them did quite well after surgery, but some of them, for the most part, having simple surgeries, they did very, very poorly. That's when I began to start to investigate, what is the correlation? What's the connection between the ones who do well and the ones who do poorly? And then I began to see a common thread. It was how they thought going into the surgery and after the surgery, and the stresses that they perceived that they would face. And it was really became a ministry. I think at that time I didn't realize it would morph into a ministry, but it really became a practice, even in my nursing career, as a practice of spirit, soul, and body medicine. So with that being said, I changed the way I began to practice. I began to ask more questions about, okay, how are you feeling before you go to surgery, and then to investigate the outcome. And truly, your outlook does become your outcome.
Wow, wow. And so a lot of people focus their attention on one or the other. You know, they will say that, you know, if the evidence scientifically says that you have an ulcer or you have a tumor or something, and that's where they will direct their efforts and the attention based upon the science, the medical science behind how you treat that particular condition. But they don't normally cross over into the spiritual, right? And ask them about their spiritual condition. And we know that the soul, right, represents the mind, the will, and the emotions. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so what are they harboring, and you hit on it, how are they feeling and how that relates to their ability to recover? Now, I have seen some studies over the years that have drawn correlations between people who pray and people who don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how that the longevity, their ability to handle difficult life changes, the people who pray, that they have a better life expectancy and they deal with those challenges better than those who don't pray. Now, my question to you is when you're in your practice and you're looking at those three dimensions, spirit, soul, and body, how do you begin to help your patients make that crossover? You've made it, but how do you begin to help them do it?
First of all, I help them become aware that their thoughts are the single most powerful contributor to their illness, that what they're thinking, meditating on day and night is going to produce either health and healing for your body, or it's going to produce some sickness and disease. And once I have them to become more aware, then I question them basically about, okay, what are you meditating on? What thoughts are you thinking? James Allen in 1903, that's what got me started with this. He, the very first chapter of his book, As a Man Thinketh, just gave the importance of what the mind does. He says the mind is the master power that molds and makes, and man is mind and evermore he takes. The tool of thought and shaping what he wills bring forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass. So it's not what's around you that causes you to get sick as much as it is what's inside of you. Every thought, Pastor Jay, every thought affects us on the cellular level. You know, our thought lives on the surface of ourselves as a messenger. So whenever you think a thought, it produces a corresponding set of chemicals being released in the body to bring forth either healing or it either bring about sickness. So you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask patients to ask yourself, on what am I thinking all the time? Am I thinking about how mad I am, or am I thinking about how grateful I am? Because whatever you're meditating on is meditating and ruminating inside of you.
Wow. And see, we need to stop right there because I hearing that, although I knew it before we started this conversation, it was an eye-opener for me because as a pastor and as a minister of the gospel and someone who does counseling, I am keenly aware, you know, of the spiritual implications. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, absolutely. But then when you begin to think about, as you said, that it rests on the cellular level, and that it actually then begins to literally live on the surface of your cells, it makes
and
you say, hold on now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And say that again.
And changes the cells based on how you're thinking. So if you're thinking happy thoughts, I mean, changes. Absolutely change the structure of your cells. So if you're thinking happy thoughts, joyful and peaceful, those cells, and it's not even the disease itself that bring you to your demise. It's how you're thinking about that disease. You've seen cancer patients that come through it smooth, easy peasy, and other ones just die just the thought of cancer. It's not just the disease. It's what you're meditating on that influences a lot of time the outcome.
Wow. And so that would say to us, when we're talking about a better me in 2021, that our thought life really needs to be brought into the prayer room under examination
right.
so that we can begin to attack this thing where it needs to be addressed.
Right, and that's what ministry comes in so much for me. Let this mind be in you that is also Christ Jesus. Casting down. If you go back and check the word, you find in the word it is replete with scriptures about casting down every thought that exalts itself against what God has already said about us and who we are, that we are overcomers, that we're going to triumph in all things. It didn't say that you won't have the disease, but it did say we would triumph. So even in the face of adversity, what are we thinking? How are we carrying our beliefs? How are we posturing ourselves? Are we being peaceful? Because a peaceful environment, a peaceful cellular environment, Pastor Jay, it keeps us in what we call a homeostasis, a steady state, because the cells don't twist and turn and become diseased. Are you being in turmoil about the situation? Because if you're in turmoil, you're releasing so many chemicals, cortisol and other chemicals, constant epinephrine and constant cortisol that make you have a lot of belly fat. Those stress hormones, and they can do a lot of detriment when you're always in this environment of I'm fighting, and I have to run. That is one of the reasons why the word, I believe the word says, he will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. So an environment of peace is the utmost importance of staying healthy.
Wow. I am blown away because I know that this is really an eye-opening conversation for many of us when we begin to think about the things that we think about. And those are not, you know, often there are things that, you know, no one around us necessarily knows what we're thinking, right? But that stuff is internalized. And so that's where we're talking about the renewal of your mind. That's what I hear. I hear that you have to go back to Romans 12:1 that says, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed, which is change from the inside out, right? Mm-hmm. By the renewal of your mind. And so that's what I hear. Let me stop right here and say, if you are just joining us, I'm so glad you did today. This is an awesome conversation that I believe will be beneficial to everyone who listens. But you have tuned into The Living Room. I'm your host, Juliet Davis, and my guest today is Dr. Evelyn Hall Harris. And we're talking about the topic, A Better Me. And so in our discussion, we have concluded so far that it's what you think that's really killing you, and how you need to change the way you think, because your thoughts actually not only rest on a cellular level, but they actually change the cells. So that's what's causing you the different ailments and the challenges that you are facing, and that's what's making us sick.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up about the cellular level, you know, our cells, you know how we think on things and we try to throw things out of our mind and sometimes we're not able to. Well, our cells have a memory as well. So if we have been traumatized as a child or even in our later years and we have never dealt with that, bring it to the surface, no matter how much medicine or therapy you get, if you don't become clean and confess your faults one to another and mainly to yourself, if you don't uproot that from the root, get rid of the root of the issue, you're going to continue to battle physically, emotionally, and mentally with that issue. So because our cells remember the trauma, they remember the things that cause us to be there. So we have to, in order to heal, we got to dig up, we got to look at, face things and look at things that may not be comfortable for us to look at, but they are so important for us to heal. So healing is an inside job. We heal from the inside out, not the other way around.
Wow. Okay. So what comes to mind, and what we will probably spend the balance of our time today talking about, is the fact that when you think about what the average person has had to deal with in 2020, crossing over into 2021, absolutely, and we recognize that the racial and social unrest, the racial tension in our nation, the polarization that we have seen play out, you know, day after day, obviously the pandemic and the impact that it's had on us individually and as a nation, and many of us have lost loved ones. When you think about the shift that it has caused for those of us who are parenting school-age children and are now having to become, people who are, you know, teaching our kids from home when we were never trained or qualified to do so, and that our kids, the quality of their education is now challenged because they're not accustomed to looking at a screen all day. And then add to that the fact that they don't have that social interaction that makes their world go round because they've had to be, you know, quarantined at home or limit the exposure, not able to go to school and things that they consider to be their normal. And I'm not even talking about the economic impact of businesses closing and losing your job and not knowing how long you'll be able to work. All of those things are now playing in the lives of most people. Now, use that as a canvas for talking about how the stresses of our lives and the things that we are thinking are now having an effect at the cellular level. And I say to you, Dr. Evelyn, please talk to us about how we might be able to manage some of these challenges, right, so that they don't play out in a negative way.
And Truly, Pastor Juliet, these are challenges. The battleground of faith is definitely in our mind, and really what we've been seeing with the pandemic and all of the challenges that the pandemic has brought is that we're battling to stay afloat in our mind, to find that place of that spiritual place where we can just be transformed by the Word of God. For many of the people that I've been seeing, and granted, since the pandemic, the mental health field has just become overrun with not just adults, but as you said before, adolescents and children, just with the feeling of hopelessness. That's what we have to, and a lot of people are not, I don't want to say saved, but a lot of people, their faith is wavering because of the amount of pressures they've had to deal with. So that's why it's so important. It's wavering because they can't see. It's like they're being flooded, and they can't see a way out. That's why I tell them, you have to find every ounce, every second of your being to practice gratitude. Gratitude is the number one thing that helps you to overcome, because it says, for the spirit of heaviness, I will put on the garment of praise. I can't praise you if I'm not grateful. So, I mean, just to say, if the only thing you can find is to be grateful for your life, being alive and your children are alive and you're all together and haven't gotten COVID, find the little things to practice gratitude. Because when we're practicing the gratitude, just saying thank you, being grateful to God, that we're changing, we're transforming ourselves just by doing that little thing. The other part is when you begin to be grateful, do you know how peaceful you become? You can't be grateful and not start to abide in peace, because as you're putting on that garment of praise, you begin to realize, I'm not in this alone. God's got this. And your body responds to that environment of peace and just starts to just, be a protective blanket, be a protective mechanism, an internal protective mechanism. It can be that the dopamine and the serotonin, the dopamine, that your reward chemical. Whenever you start to praise, dopamine is one of those neurotransmitters, it's starting to be secreted, and you start to feel good about things again. That's why praise is so important. We have to praise. I mean, as Christians, we know we have to praise our way through a lot of things and encourage ourselves when in this world that we're looking at, we can't see any reason to be encouraged. But as we begin, there's a reason he says us to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Nobody can give you practice that for you, because when you're practicing it, you are practicing keeping yourself healthy and then staying peaceful as much as you possibly can. Yes, you're going to be bombarded, but, you know, being peaceful, Pastor Jay, it's a decision.
It is.
To meditate on his word day and night. I'm not letting anything disturb my peace. I know these things are going on, but I'm going to go take me a walk outside. I'm going to take a break from this. I'm going to get along with God, and I'm going to meditate on his goodness. So we have to stay peaceful. Another thing is, once you lay your head down, we need to shut off social media. We need to stop watching so much TV. A lot of us can't handle the bombardment that the enemy is sending to take our mind. So do things that we can to shut out the noise. Yes, you need to stay up to date, but for a while, this is not going to change for a while. But so don't watch 8 hours of TV, because that is not going to produce an environment for peace. And then another thing, change while we're eating. We got to get water is the number one hydrator, and I can go up to a whole other thing about what water does spiritually. We're not going to go there.
Uh-huh.
But water, you got to start drinking lots and lots of water to flush those cells out and to keep the body healthy. And we can't exercise the way we used to, but you can walk. You can walk around your same block or your neighborhood 5 to 10 times a day. And they recommend getting about 150 minutes of exercise a week if you can. But 10 minutes of exercise a day is going to bump up your immune system, increase your immune system, improve it. So make a commitment to yourself to be a better me. Get out and go for a 10-minute walk. And if you can take your kids with you two or three times a day, you've done your 30 minutes for the day. It don't take a lot. It just takes consistency. And then, of course, you know, with us being so immobile, some of us with the COVID virus being out there, what can we do to improve our immune system? So a lot of supplements are available for you to take. That sea moss is one of them. Elderberry, B vitamins, vitamin D is very, very important. Get enough of that because you're not going to get that from the sunshine. Zinc, about 30 milligrams of that a day will help you. But the other thing that's so good about being in this position, it puts us in a position to serve others. Get on the phone and call somebody. You know, when you're giving out,
yes,
you take the pressure off yourself. That's why joy is Jesus, others, and then yourself. We have to be mindful that we are living the way Christ told us to live so we can be in that perfect peace that he would have us. Those are some things. Yes, the challenges are going to continue to come, but make a decision to be the best you can be in the hand you've been dealt. So it's not what happens to you. It's how you process what happens to you.
Wow, absolutely. And as I say many times, somebody can take the hand you've been dealt and win with it. So while you may be thinking you've got a lot of adversity against you, there's always someone else who has more challenges than you do, and they are still determined to win. So what about you? So this has been such an insightful conversation. If we were to just take those tips that you gave us just a few moments ago and put them into action, we would be in a whole lot better place. So I feel like we've got our homework assignment for those of you who've been listening. And if you're not doing those things that she recommended, this is the opportunity. The best time to start is right now. So now, Dr. Evelyn, who's also a pastor, by the way, so I can interchange those titles. I know that those who've been listening today do want very much to know how to get in touch with you. How can they continue to get this excellent information and ministry? And how can they continue to learn more about that correlation between spirit, soul, and body? So tell us how we might be able to get in touch with you.
Okay. You can get in touch with me by going to my website, alliancefamilypracticeva.com. You can have the option to schedule an appointment, to leave me a message on there via my email, which is alliancefamilypractice@gmail.com. Or you can request a book that has most of the information I've been talking about in my book, which is called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. It's a guide that will, how your thoughts, beliefs, and attitude can cause sickness and disease. I wrote it so long ago, but I do have it in the office, and I do sell it on Amazon, and I sell it if you request it. But that gives you the information, other than the COVID information, about how your thoughts, beliefs, and attitude can cause sickness and disease and what you need to do to just transform your mind.
Oh, my goodness. And so I know that you're going to be getting quite a few phone calls because this environment and the culture that we're currently living in has brought many of us to a new revelation that we need to take better care of ourselves. And so I hope that you all have found today's show to be educational, inspiring, and enlightening, and empowering too. And that's my commitment to you. Every time you tune in to the Living Room, I commit to make sure that you get both information and inspiration. And so thanks so much for tuning in today. If you need to reach me, you know you can certainly find me on social media at Juliet Davis Ministries or Juliet Davis. You can also send me an email at destinyempower@gmail.com. Listen, I am always glad when we've had a chance to have a conversation that's life-changing. And as I always say at the end of the broadcast, the Word of God has transformation power. May His Word change your life forever. So tune in again, and we look forward to our next opportunity in the living room. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Keita Keet. I will be your host this evening, Keita Keet. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. You all could have been anywhere, but you decided to join me tonight, and I just want to say thank you. I also want to say to all my listeners, if you've ever want to get in contact with me, if you ever want to reach out to me just to say, hey, Keita, I like what you're doing, or if you just want to say hey, or even if you have any prayer requests, you can definitely do so by reaching me via email. My email address is lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com. Again, that's lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com. And also I can be reached via social media. You can find me on Facebook as well as Instagram. And that is under Keita Keet. And that is KETTAKEET. Amen. I also would like to say Happy New Year to all of my listeners. I tell you, 2020 was a very challenging year. And that's probably an understatement, if I can say. But I would just wrap 2020 up as a challenging year. And I will go ahead on and say for many of us who, you know, who's probably thinking what I'm thinking, 2021 kind of came in with a bang as well. Yes. If you're like me, you've definitely been watching the news. You definitely have been seeing what's been going on, not just around the world, but actually in this country as well. Many of us saw what occurred on last week dealing with the protesters and the rioters at the Capitol. And we saw some things that many of us did not expect to see. And so with that being said, I want to talk tonight about anxiety. And the reason why I want to talk about anxiety is because if we can all be honest, there have been moments in our life, whether they were last year or whether they were just recently, whether it was today, that we have experienced some moments of anxiety. And not just dealing with world events, but there are things that are that's going on in our own personal lives, things that hit home under our own roofs, whether it's with us or with our family, with our friends, you know, our circles, there are some things that have hit home personally where many of us have experienced anxiety. I can personally say that I've had several close friends to lose loved ones, very close loved ones, just within a matter of a few weeks. And so the issue of anxiety, that's definitely the topic of anxiety is what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to talk about it from three different point of views. You know, I want to give the Webster's Dictionary of anxiety. I also want to give a definition from a psychological point of view. And then I want to talk about what the Bible says about anxiety. So I first want to start off with the definition from Merriam-Webster's Dictionary about what anxiety is. And according to Webster's Dictionary, anxiety is apprehensive uneasiness or nervousness, usually over an impending or an anticipated ill or a mentally distressing concern or interest. So when it talks about an impending or anticipated, meaning that we experience anxiety for things that have not even occurred yet, but the fact of that they may occur causes anxiety. Just the very thought of something happening can cause anxiety. And that's according to Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. Now, we're going to take this from a psychological point of view, according to psychologytoday.com, they describe anxiety as both a mental and physical state of negative expectation. The cognitive feelings, which means your thoughts, the cognitive feelings of dread in anticipation of some bad outcome and physical sensations such as jitteriness, and a racing heart are designed for discomfort. So we have the mental as well as the physical state as it pertains to the psychological point of view of anxiety. So anxiety, again, is the state of negative expectation, the cognitive feelings. Those are the thoughts that we have that bring on anxiety. And then the physical part of anxiety, when you know, they describe it as having jitteriness or a racing heartbeat that is designed for discomfort. And I will go on to say that many of us have experienced that, you know, mentally as well as physically. You know, we get into a situation and we're just not quite sure about what to do. So, of course, our heart starts racing. Some people might even experience nausea. Some people experience, you know, headaches and things like that. So it's not just anxiety doesn't just deal with the mental, but also the physical part as well. So we talked about Webster's Dictionary definition of anxiety, and we also talked about the psychological point of view as it pertains to anxiety. But now we're going to talk about what the Bible says about anxiety and how we as people, as believers, can actually deal with anxiety, or better yet, not having to deal with anxiety. Okay, so I'm going to go to a couple of scripture references as it pertains to anxiety, because one thing about the Word of God, and God loves us so much. He is our Heavenly Father, and He knows everything that we are dealing with and everything that we will deal with. So He has already put it in His Word, and He's made it plain in His Word on what it is that we should do when we come upon certain situations and certain challenges. And specifically, the Word of God mentions the topic of anxiety or being anxious, or for another word, worrying. you know, if some people don't, if they say they don't experience anxiety, but they say that they worry a lot. That's also another form or just another word of being anxious or having anxiety. Okay, so I'm just going to address a couple of scripture references as it pertains to anxiety. Now, the first scripture reference that I have is 1 Peter 5:7 in the ESV version, which is a very popular text as well, you know, and we've heard this many times. But again, that's 1 Peter 5:7 ESV. And it says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Now, some translation says casting all our cares on him because he cares for us. But the ESV version breaks it down as casting all our anxieties or casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And of course, the him is God. Okay. Now, I found this information on this particular website as it breaks down the commentary of 1 Peter 5:7. And this can be found on connectusfund.org. Again, this information that I'm about to share, it can be found on connectusfund.org. Okay. So I just want to give credit where credit is due. These are not my words. However, this is an awesome commentary on 1 Peter 5:7. Okay. And it reads 1 Peter 5:7, the meaning of cast all your anxiety on him. Okay. Now here's the explanation and the commentary of 1 Peter 5:7. And it says, amidst a list of instructions to the church, Peter warns his readers to humble themselves, be sober-minded, and resist the devil. In the same list, he commands them to cast their anxiety on God. It is clear from his letter that the church was being tested by persecution and various trials. The Christians were experiencing anxiety. Peter was no stranger to anxiety, having followed Jesus in his earthly ministry and through his death and resurrection, and having been imprisoned and flogged multiple times for his own preaching. And the reason is based on the fact that God cares for us. We don't have an impersonal God who sees us as a number and who dispassionately governs the universe from a great distance. I got to read that again. We don't have an impersonal God who sees us as just a number and who dispassionately governs the universe from a great distance. We have a God who knows us perfectly, according to 1 Corinthians 8:3. He created us and knows every hair of our head. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground and he doesn't know. Okay, that's according to Matthew 10:29. God loves his children and is perfectly attentive. He waits to answer when we pray, to forgive when we repent, to comfort when we are in need. He will surely carry our burdens if only we will ask. Only don't cast your anxiety on him only to renege on the deal. Don't take back your anxieties once you have entrusted them to God. Amen. The reason why I wanted to repeat that part about that we don't have an impersonal God who sees us just as a number is because, and I know I have mentioned this before, but it bears repeating, that God wants us to have a relationship with him. Amen. We have a loving Father. He is not impersonal. He wants us to be close. He wants us to be connected to him. So he desires to have that relationship with us. God is not a religion. And I know I've shared this before, that my sister, Tammy, designed a t-shirt that God had given her. And it reads religion and relationship with the word religion, you know, scratched out with a red line through it. It has a red line through it. And underneath it says relationship. meaning because God is not a religion. But God wants us to have a relationship with him. He desires that. And so it's important to know that as a believer, when we deal with those anxieties, because anxiety is real, it is okay to tell God what is going on with us. And he already knows it, but he wants us to talk with him, to commune with him and tell him, God, I'm feeling anxious. I am worried about something and I'm trying to figure this thing out. And God will answer your prayer and also lead you to what his word says about your situation. So we don't have to be afraid of God. We don't have to be in a state of, I better not say anything and keep things in. I was talking to a really good friend of mine just recently, and we were talking about anxiety, but we also brought up the topic of when people say never question God. And I said, who said that? Because the Bible clearly says to ask. Yes, that we are to ask. Yes, and we are to seek, but we are also to ask God. So when it comes to never questioning God, yeah, God wants us to ask questions. Absolutely. Because we have a loving Father. And when you have a relationship with someone, it's okay to ask questions. Amen. I even talked with this close friend of mine about the story of Jonah, you know, because the Bible even says that it's okay to be angry, but sin not. And the sin not is make sure that the anger doesn't turn into sin, meaning or bitterness, or that you do something in your anger, you know, that you sin while, you know, sin while you're angry, or that you allow the anger to turn into bitterness. But it's okay for you to be angry, because once you feel the anger, that is the time to ask God, what do I do with what I am feeling? So again, it's important to have a relationship with God, because it's okay to tell God that you're angry, because he will direct you and show you what to do with that anger, or to show you exactly what's going on or why you are angry. So it is important to have a relationship with God. I cannot say that enough. During this time, during the season that we are in, it is so important to have that relationship with the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, it's freeing. You can go to your Heavenly Father with anything, with any concern, with any care, and he is, he will help you. Yes, he will help you. See, religion likes to keep people in a box. Religion will say you can't question God. Religion will say don't get angry. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that we can cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us. Amen. And I'm not going to be before you long. We're just touching some things tonight about anxiety. But this last scripture, and I said that we were going to address a couple of scriptures, but this is the last scripture that we are going to address. And you know, again, this is also another popular scripture. We've heard this several times in different translations, but this is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6-9. And I'm going to tell you why we're going to go all the way to verse 9, because a lot of times, you know, we stop at verse 6. But I'm going to go from verses 6-9. And this is also in the ESV version. Okay, and it reads, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And verse seven is this scripture has definitely been in my spirit for the last couple of weeks. And this is a scripture that I've definitely been meditating on. But verse seven is so important to know. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. And brothers is not just for men, but this scripture, the word of God is for everyone. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And verse 9 says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And the reason why I wanted to read all of those verses from 6 to 9 is because God never just, I'll say it like this. God always has an answer for everything. And he will tell you exactly what you need to do in order to handle your situation. Okay. So verse 6 says, tells you off the bat, if you are anxious, tells you don't be anxious for anything. But he doesn't just stop there, because telling someone just to stop doing something, you know, a lot of times, you know, growing up as kids, you know, you're not, you know, especially as a little child, you're in the kitchen and, you know, your mom has the oven on or whatever. And so you go to the oven, and sometimes, you know, some mothers can just say, don't touch that, you know, don't touch that stove, don't touch that door. And, you know, some kids will still go and touch it. But there also comes time where there may be instructions where the mother or the parent would say, listen, don't touch the door because it is hot. And if you touch the hot door, it will burn you and it may cause scars. And so they go on to explain why. So this is one thing I can say about God. God doesn't just say, like, just don't do it. You know what I mean? He's such a loving father. He tells you, don't be anxious for anything, but this is how you handle this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he tells you, don't be anxious. So, but whatever it is that you're going through, you make your request known to me. You tell me what's going on. He's inviting you to do so. You tell your Heavenly Father what's going on. And then after that, this is what makes this so good. And it says, and the peace of God. That'll preach right there. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So after that, you have acknowledged that you are anxious, and after you tell God what is going on, he promises you his peace. While you are dealing with what you're dealing with, he will send his peace. Yes. So the answer to anxiety is peace. Yes. Amen. And so it goes on to verse 8 and 9 and explains it even further. And so while you're experiencing the peace of God, this is what God tells you to do in the meantime. You think on things that are true. Think on whatever things are honorable, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. If there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise. And in some translations, it says of good report. Think on those things. So what's happening is now you are turning your thoughts towards something else. You've now taken your thoughts from negative to something of good report, to things that are pure, to things that are lovely. Because anxiety deals with your thoughts. Amen. So once you start changing the way you think, you start seeing the situation totally different. So while you're talking to God and you're giving God all of your cares, he's giving you his peace and he's trying to help you change the way you think. And at the very end, it says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So now only has he told you to stop doing that, because you don't have to do that. He has told you exactly what to do in this situation. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I just want to say that in wrapping the show up tonight, I just want to encourage all of my listeners to know, number one, that you are not alone. We have all experienced moments of anxiety. And even if you are experiencing some anxiety right now, I want to let you know that God is with you. No matter what the enemy is trying to tell you, no matter what we see in the news, no matter what we see in the media, no matter what we see going on right in our home, I just want to encourage you to let you know that God is with you and He wants you to talk to Him. He wants to have a relationship with you. Go to Him and tell Him what is going on with you, and He will give you His peace. It surpasses all understanding, meaning it just don't even make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to us. But His peace surpasses all understanding. Amen. So I just want to close with a prayer for anyone who's experiencing anxiety, or if you know someone who's experiencing anxiety, whether it's due to a loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of a home, current events, loss, anything dealing with their children, no matter what it is, for anyone who's experiencing anxiety because we're not, back at church right now. There's still some churches that are not open, that are shut down. And so, many people are missing that, that relationship with each other, with one another. So whatever it is that you are experiencing and whatever the anxiety is, I just want to pray for you right now. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you thanking you, Lord God, for this time. And I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to share your word, Father God. And my prayer is that those who are listening under the sound of my voice, whether it's them or whether they know someone who may be experiencing anxiety, we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us the answer of what it is that we should do and what we can do if we are feeling anxious, if we are worrying. Your word clearly says that we can cast our cares on you, meaning that we can go to you and tell you what's going on with us, and you will give us your peace. And then you told us what to do in order to change our thinking, to think on those things that are of good report and lovely and pure, God. So you have given us the answer, Father God. So we thank you, Lord God, that even right now that anxiety is being lifted, Father God. People are being set free from their anxiety and from their worries, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that we know who holds our future, and it is you, God. So we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to be anxious for. And Lord God, even when those days that we do start to feel anxious, Lord God, that we know that we can go ahead and cast that anxiety down, rebuke that anxiety, and cast our cares on you, God. And we thank you, Lord God. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just encourage all those who are listening right now and letting them know that all things are working together for their good. Thank you, Lord God, for they love you and they are called according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord God. We honor you, God, and we love you. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening tonight. You all have a blessed night and a blessed weekend. I love you. Good night.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.